Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia, the first Wednesday of May 2011. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our executive producer of our show. Good
Thanks.
Morning, Lee.
Happy Cuatro de Mayo.
Okay.
It's a big holiday here.
Oh, right? Okay. All right. Also joining us is in Dallas, Texas, is Kevin Ritz. Kevin, are you there?
I am, Sam. Good morning.
Today in Atlanta, I have two guests, really three, but we're going to allow two of them to speak on the air. We have Anthony Meyer from Select Physical Therapy, Select PT. Anthony is the center manager for the Decatur office, and he joins us today to talk about those situations. Good morning, Anthony.
How are you?
Also joining us is a lady who herself hosts a show called Family Business Radio, but she is the owner and operator of Moore & Associates Wealth Management. Meredith Moore is with us. Good morning, Meredith. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. Doing great. Excited to be here.
Good. Okay, well, let's get started in Texas. Kevin, why don't you take it away, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thanks, Sam. With me today, I have Lori Sulock and Suzanne Sperry, who are with Lion Hospice. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Lori, let's start with you. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background, where you started, and how you ended up where you're at now with Lion.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. I started about 22 years ago in the senior healthcare housing industry. I have worked in many different aspects, starting from skilled nursing facilities, assisted living, independent living, and memory care. And this is actually my first go-round with hospice. Very exciting. I've always had a passion and a desire to work with hospice. And I'm very blessed and fortunate that Lion's given me the opportunity to. So, really excited.
All right. And Suzanne, what about yourself?
I'm a little newer to the industry.
Suzanne, you've been in hospice for how long?
For 2 years. I have an undergraduate degree in social sciences, and then I went on to study healthcare administration. And I had experienced hospice in my own home when I was a teenager, and then again with my grandparents. I had my grandmothers were both on hospice, and my grandfathers were not, so I was able to see the benefit from all angles. That brought me to Lion Hospice and my interest in end-of-life care.
All right. So tell us a little bit about Lion Hospice. How long has it been around, and kind of give us some background to the company.
Lion Hospice formed in 1994 by a local family here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They saw a need for end-of-life care, especially in the nursing facilities, and we are still operating in the Fort Worth area. Texans serving Texans. We are locals serving our community here.
All right. Lori, you're fairly new to Lion and to the hospice industry, but I know this is something you've always wanted to do. So what's exciting to you about kind of coming out of Lion, and what are you looking forward to the most?
I think it's so important because we tend to forget what the families and the patients go through when they're looking at these life-changing decisions. And so many of us are thinking that we have to save everybody, especially in our industry in geriatrics. We think we have to, you know, fix them. We have to make it better. And we don't realize that death is imminent for all of us, that we were all born, and the one thing that we know for sure for everyone is that we're all going to die. So the hospice opportunity is an opportunity for us to really try to make that end-of-life stage and care very comfortable for the patient as well as for the families and for the friends that are surrounding them. A lot of times those families and friends get forgotten in the crisis moment. So our hospice has several different services that we offer, including bereavement counseling. We actually stay in touch with the families and the friends that are involved with the patient for at least a year. We even have our bereavement coordinator who people who will call in and we don't actually ever make it to hospice, they don't make it on our services, she still keeps in contact with them. So I think that's just so important to remember that we have to make everyone's life comfortable and make it easier, not just for the patient, but for the family.
Yeah, that's an excellent service there. What do you think the biggest challenge is when communicating the hospice message to people?
I think that people automatically think death is immediate, and that's not necessarily so. One of the biggest things that we all need to remember is that when we are faced with a terminal illness, it's actually better to talk hospice in the beginning and get on those services in the beginning, because we can help families coordinate what the next step and what the process is. When you wait until the end, you don't have that opportunity to really be comfortable and enjoy those last final days, and that's so important for anyone of any age, from young people to geriatric population. Once again, they want to be comfortable, they need to be comfortable, and you want to be able to experience that relationship with them in those final days to the best.
Yeah. Suzanne, going back to you, you've been with Lyme a little bit longer than Lori, so I'll ask you, do you have any specific stories of how hospice has really impacted the life of somebody?
I do. We have a lot of stories. Recently, we had a family who was on hospice services. It was a family, a husband and a wife, and they had a child who was 10. The husband was diagnosed with lung cancer, and he fought that fight as long as he could. And at the end of life, we helped transfer him from the hospital to the home. We were able to have all the appropriate equipment and care at the home. For New Year's, we took in New Year's poppers and blowhorns and all the fun things you can do to have a New Year's party. And this patient was able to have New Year's at home comfortably, and they had a great time with family all around. We went on to, the patient passed away just before Valentine's Day, and Lyon Hospice put about 75 heart stakes in the yard of the patient's wife, and we gave her a little heart attack for Valentine's Day to honor their love. And then we also dedicated the baseball season of the 10-year-old child to his father by a balloon release on the first game. And that story has touched a lot of other hearts, how we were able to not only get them from an inpatient setting to home and be comfortable, but they were able to be comfortable and happy living a normal life, and we continue to carry on the legacy of this individual.
Yeah. And Laura, do you have anything yet? I know you've only been there for a short time.
I think for me, in dealing with the team that we have working there, hospice obviously is a different experience, but I've really seen such compassion and care from all of our team members, from our nurses to our caregivers to our front office person, Kim. And it's an amazing thing to walk into a company like that, because as we all know in hospice, the one thing that we deal with is death. And we know that's going to happen with every patient we take on. So it's just so important and so great for me to come in and see how close everyone is and how truly involved they are with the patients and their families. It's touching.
Talk a little bit about the name Lyon Hospice. When I first saw that on Lori's email, I thought there has to be a story behind it.
I do know that the family that owns the company that we work for, they are a strong family. They're proud of their heritage. The lion is in their family crest, and also we've talked before that a group of lions is called a pride, and you've got to have pride for what you do, who you are, and the people you serve, and the lion being a symbol of us having pride of those things as well, and the company and the core values that we develop as we provide care.
All right. Well, that explains it. That and makes a lot of sense. What do you find? I mean, just hospice in general is extremely rewarding. But what do you find the most rewarding about what you do?
The patients touch us. A lot of times, we are told We hear all the time about what great people we are, and that's not always the case, but all of the people that we come into contact with, we're able to see them first come on and be scared, be angry, whatever the feelings are, and we grow together to where they're the ones who are at peace and have complete faith at the end of their life. So it's just a rewarding journey that we're able to see them go through. Sometimes the patient is ready, the spouse is not, or vice versa, and we're able to all get on one playing field. And
it's a very rewarding process, just being out there the past couple weeks and actually going into the nursing homes, the assisted living facilities, independent living facilities, as well as their own homes. Having that interaction with those patients and then with the families, and you really see what a load you've taken off of them. And with the patients themselves, you know, the first lady I was out to see this last week was having a very hard time with this. And so trying to work her through that process, the family was ready, the family needed the help, they were ready to take that step. But working her through that process to get her to understand that she wasn't going to have to give up her independence, she was still going to have choices, she was still going to be able to make those decisions. And at the end of the day in the conversation, you know, reaching out and giving her a hug, and of course, you know me, that's the best thing for me. And she turned around and looked up and said, you know, I've been a widow for 26 years. And she said, that's what I need. I need that hug. I need that personal touch. I don't get that every day. And that's really what we're all about, is providing that one-on-one and that personal comfort to them. So that's the most rewarding thing.
Excellent. Well, Suzanne, if you had a piece of advice that you could give to a senior, somebody facing the hospice decision, what would that piece of advice be?
I think I've seen on both ends, as being a client in hospice as well as a caregiver, that whatever feelings you face, whether it be anger, frustration, happiness, fear, you're going to experience all of those things. Those things are okay to feel. There should be no feelings of guilt for feeling those things, and that to take it with stride, because you're going to feel all those things. They'll change from hour to hour and day to day, and you know that's normal. So.
All right, well, that's actually a great piece of advice, and I think possibly the first time we've had that, and that's very good. Lori, if any of our listeners would like to contact you or Lyon Hospice, how would they go about doing that?
We do have a webpage, which is just www.lyonhospice.com. Our main phone number for the Bedford location is 817-268-2145, and we do cover the entire DFW Metroplex area. We also have a number for our Dallas office, which is 214-261-0140, and we also have Facebook now, Lyon Hospice. So we welcome anyone who has not only a need for hospice, but questions about hospice or even educational services. We provide those as well for free.
All right, excellent. All right, Sam, and with that, we'll send it back to you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much, Lori and Suzanne. That was great information. Thanks, Kevin, for being our host today.
You're welcome.
I have with us Anthony Meyer from Select Physical Therapy. Anthony is the center manager for Select Physical Therapy in Decatur. He has a master's degree in physical therapy from the University of Alabama in Birmingham, and he's going to speak to us about how he and his services relate directly to our senior population. Good morning. How are you, Anthony?
Good morning. I'm well.
I gave a little bit about your background, where you went to school. Tell us a little bit more about who you are and where you're from.
Well, I took a less than direct route to become a physical therapist. My undergraduate degree was originally in business administration. But during that time when I was in school, I was always interested in sciences and health care in general. But the only two options I really knew of in healthcare at that point were to either become a doctor mm-hmm. or a nurse. Mm-hmm. And neither of those two appealed to me at that time. So I just continued on and got my degree in business administration. And then moved to Atlanta in 1993 after graduation and got a job with a company, Suntory Water Group, and was involved in logistics and production planning and inventory control, and quickly realized that I had a long time to go before retirement doing something that I didn't care to do. So at that point, I kind of explored different avenues and saw that physical therapy was an up-and-coming profession that had good prospects in the future, and began to volunteer in a clinic and really enjoyed being involved in that process. So at that point, I quit my job and became a part-time tech in the clinic that I was volunteering in, and then went to Georgia State to pick up some other prerequisite classes that I needed to apply to PT school.
That's great. Great. It's a good experience, good wise experience before you got into what you love to do.
Yep.
Good. Tell us a little bit, if you will, about Select PT, Select Physical Therapy. Tell us about the organizations, their locations. Just inform our listeners.
Select Physical Therapy is actually one of the largest, if not the largest, provider of outpatient rehabilitation services nationwide. The current count, we were talking about that on the way over, it's around 1,000 clinics nationwide. Our Atlanta market has 28 clinics currently, so very well dispersed throughout metro Atlanta and in the surrounding communities. Our parent company is Select Medical Corporation, which has two sides to their business. It's our side, which is outpatient rehabilitation services, and then they also have acute care hospitals is the other side of the business.
You indicated that one of the larger outpatient therapy organizations. Tell us a little bit about what that encompasses, your day. Just give us a life in the day of Anthony.
Well, the interesting
day
thing
in the life that would be.
Yeah, well, either one.
That's all right. And I haven't called him Steve yet, so we're okay.
You know, it's interesting because as a large corporation, you don't get that feel when you step into our clinic. And that's one thing that that Select Medical pushes is that each market is locally driven. So we cater to what the market needs. And as a center manager, you're given a great deal of leeway in determining what's appropriate for your patients and what you think is an important thing to do from day-to-day operations. There have been several times that patients have asked me if I own the clinic. And I take that as a compliment because, you know, if their perception is that I have an ownership in that clinic, I think that's a good perception for them to have.
Can you share a little bit about what makes Decatur different than some of your other centers?
Well, the staff, for one, obviously.
Anthony.
Anthony.
I think I go into other centers and I see, and they're all good centers, but Decatur, we're like the extended family. You know, everybody that walks through the door, it's not a dry, impersonal approach. You know, we greet people like they're members of our family when they come in, and we take care of them as if they were.
How much of your patient load is clinic based, and is any of it home based?
None of it is home based.
Okay.
It's all clinic.
All right, and tell us what are some of the courses of treatment, the therapies that you are providing to your patients?
We have what we call physical modalities, which is ultrasound, electrical stimulation, hot packs, cold packs, anything of that nature that's used to decrease pain or improve range of motion. We provide manual therapy, which is when the therapist actually manually assists a patient with, you know, a particular movement, or we do joint mobilizations to improve range of motion. So that's kind of a hands-on piece of it. That's probably maybe 15% to 20% of what we do. And then a big part of it is therapeutic exercise and activities and working on endurance, range of motion, strengthening.
I think that's the bridge I'm looking for. Can you relate to our listening audience how your services would relate and benefit our listening audience, which typically is the senior?
Yeah, well, we see a number of patients that are recovering from orthopedic surgeries. Rotator cuff repairs are very common in an older population. Total hips, total knees. So we are instrumental in getting the patient back to a functional level. And another thing is, I think, fall prevention. Falls are a big problem for seniors. And we provide balance training, and we can do specialized strengthening exercises to assist with that.
Develop that, the balance training. Tell us what that is.
It seems difficult, but it's actually quite simple. The best way to improve balance is to challenge someone's balance. So, and it actually will get better over time. So we take them through just, you know, very simple exercises, balancing on one leg, balancing on foam, eyes open, eyes closed, doing different motions while you're balancing, and taking them through functional activities and, just assisting them with those things on that level.
How long does it take a person that is having trouble with their balance to see an improvement in their balance when you do those exercises?
Typically within two to three weeks, 4 weeks. Most patients we will get on a home exercise program. So that's kind of the direction that we take with them. We want to improve them to the point where they're safe doing the things on their own. And then also I try to get patients involved sometimes in Tai Chi if there's a program that's nearby. That's been shown to be very beneficial on a long-term basis as far as improving balance.
In terms of the balance program, how does a patient become enrolled in it? And what I mean by that is this something that has to be prescribed by a doctor? Is it covered by Medicare or is it covered by private insurance?
It is. It requires a physician's prescription to get started in the program. Once they begin, as long as you can show that there are functional issues with that patient, Medicare will continue to pay for the treatment and private insurances as well. So that's with physical therapy. It's not pain that we focus on. And yes, range of motion, strength, endurance, all those things are important, but it's function. You know, you have to come through the door and have a functional issue. You have to have some sort of difficulty with your activities of daily living in order to be seen and to be continue to be seen.
One of the things that I see in my business and our clientele is a lifestyle of non-movement, if that's the way you want to describe it, losing the mobility, the flexibility. How important is it for the elder, the seniors, and those, I'm suggesting those in the 70s and 80s, to be on a regular defined therapy or physical program?
It's the most important thing, I think, that they can do is move. You know, we're made to move. We're not meant to be sedentary. And if you use it, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, you got to get out there. And it's just simple things, you know, daily stretches. It doesn't have to be aggressive. A walking program, I think, is very important. If people are able to get out, you know, go to the mall, get out in your neighborhood and spend some amount of time each day walking. And then that's something that we can provide them with as far as a home exercise program, too, is to give them something to take with them to perform on a regular basis.
How quickly, when a person is ambulatory, will they start seeing the negative effects of not moving?
It happens very quickly, especially in an older population. If someone is, and it depends on your definition of sedentary, if they are bedridden and not getting out of bed, within days, you'll start to see stiffness develop and weakness develop, and then it occurs very quickly progresses over a period of time very quickly.
What percentage of your clientele are seniors?
You know, last time I looked, probably 30 to 35% were Medicare, so that automatically says at least 35%, and then probably another 5 or 10% are 65 or older that have private insurance or that are automobile.
And I ask you a research clinical question. If you don't know, I'll apologize.
You might want to apologize now.
Of the 30, 35%, what number might be preventive if they maintain their exercise through their life?
That's an interesting question.
In other words, how much of it is preventative, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I would say 75% is preventable. And the one thing would be weight control.
Yeah.
Because you see people with worn out joints and a large number of them, they're not morbidly obese, but they weigh more than they should.
Uh-huh.
And that puts more wear and tear on the joints throughout the years. And you think, you know, you take a 70-year-old person and you think how much time they spend in weight bearing standing on those knees and on those hips, and the amount of cartilage that you start with is all you got. You know, once you're fully developed, your cartilage does not regrow. So as it wears out over time, if you put too much weight through that joint, you're heading for a total hip or total
knee. That's interesting. Obviously, you've had the opportunity to see a number of therapy programs, organizations. In your mind, what makes Select unique?
I think the fact that they're locally driven. And we have the power of a large corporation as far as getting insurance contracts. We accept almost every insurance that's out there. We have the support of a large corporate organization. Yet when you walk into one of our clinics, it feels like a small mom and pop operation. Mm-hmm. And patients like that. I think it draws patients to us. And we keep patients. I've been in my clinic for 8 years now, and I have patients that I've seen probably 4 to 5 times for separate things. They always come back because they like how they were treated when they were with us.
Obviously, with that length of time in the clinic, I would imagine that you have a feel-good story that you might relate to of one of your patients that just...
I think I've had many. I think one that really stands out in my mind was a patient that came to me after a severe ankle fracture to the point where they almost amputated. Mm-hmm. She came a year after her injury, still using two crutches. She came for it's called a functional capacity evaluation. It's a test that's typically done at the end of therapy. When you've gotten as good as you will get, they perform an FCE. It's about 2 to 4 hours, and it determines what your functional abilities are. How long can you stand? How long can you sit? Can you climb stairs? Can you lift? Can you push? Can you pull? She was trying to go back to work, and you can't walk into a job interview with two crutches.
Right.
And I asked her, I said, well, how much therapy have you had? And she said, well, I haven't had any therapy. And I said, well, why are you here for an FCE if you haven't had any rehab? And she said, well, it just never was recommended to me. So I said, would you be interested in doing a month of therapy to see how much better you can get? And she said, yeah, if you think it'll help. So I did a full evaluation, checked everything out. And I said, yeah, I think we can help you. So at that point, we called the physician. I talked to the PA, the physician's assistant, and explained the situation. And she said, yeah, if you think, you know, I was thinking it's a year out and it probably wouldn't be beneficial. So she said, if you think it'll help, let's go for it. And within 1 month, we had her walking on a cane.
Mm-hmm.
And she could literally not walk without two crutches. She couldn't walk from her bed to the bathroom. She had to get both crutches. Within 1 month, she was walking with a cane. And within 2 months, she was walking with no assist device whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just, if she hadn't come to us and we hadn't, if we just would have done an FCE,
right,
it would have been a terrible outcome and she probably wouldn't be working and she'd still be on those two crutches.
Mm.
So it was pretty neat.
So now, do you all just do physical therapy or do you also do occupational therapy?
We have one or two occupational therapists in the Atlanta market. We focus on physical therapy.
Okay. And yeah. Describe the difference to the listeners between occupational therapy and physical therapy.
Occupational therapy tends to deal more with the upper extremities, with fine motor control, writing, activities of daily living, such as getting dressed, and they help provide assistive devices so that they can get dressed more easily, so they can get ready for the day, so they can mm-hmm. cook, feed themselves more efficiently. Physical therapists tend to deal more with, we deal with upper extremities as well as lower extremities, but it's more on walking and doing more functional things, crouching, kneeling, lifting.
Right.
But there's some overlap between the two for sure.
For our listeners who might have a relative, Anthony, that, they think could benefit from what you just described, What piece of advice might you give them as they try to find the right situation for them?
Well, I think first talk to your friends, talk to people that have been through the process, and get word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth advertising is the best thing that we can do. But I think talking to people that have been through it, find somewhere that they're happy with,
mm-hmm.
And then also once you get started, if you should have a very open relationship with your therapist from the get-go. You should feel very comfortable being there. And if you don't feel that, I don't think it's going to be a very therapeutic relationship, and you can find somewhere else to go. There's a lot of providers out there.
I think you hit it very well, a relationship.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. It
has to be there.
Yeah, that's great. I also want to make reference, joining Anthony from Select Physical Therapy today in the studio, though not on the air, is Vanika Benjamin. Vanika is the administrative service manager for the whole greater Atlanta area, if I've got that right. Sorry that you're sitting over in the corner. You certainly were welcome to join us, but I think she chose to sit and listen. Good morning. Thank you. Anthony, why don't you tell our listeners how they may contact you or get in touch with the Select Physical Therapy office in their area?
The easiest way to contact me directly would be to call our clinic in Decatur, and the number is 404-297-0821. And then we also have a website for our entire company, and that is www.selectphysicaltherapy.com.
And if our listeners are not in the Decatur area, besides the website, is there any other way of getting a hold of a central number?
Our central number is 770 972-982-4525.
Well, Anthony, we appreciate you being on the show. Thank you. It was great information, and look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Great. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Vanika. Thanks for being here. Also joining us today is Meredith Moore. Meredith is has a unique topic to discuss today, but before we go there, I want to make reference that Meredith is the owner-operator of Meredith Moore or Moore Associates in Wealth Management. She also is a owner of a radio show much like ours, but it's called Family Business Radio. And Meredith has been named one of the top 40 financial advisors in under 40 years of age in the nation by the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. But with all that being said, what she's going to speak to is a little bit different. So I would like to welcome Meredith to the station today. Good morning.
Thanks, Sam. I'm really happy to be here in kind of a different capacity and hanging out on Business Radio X.
Typically, you're on this side of the table.
I am, but it's kind of fun to be on the other end.
First of all, as we get started, just for our listeners, tell us a little bit of your background. Tell us a little bit about Moore & Associates, and then we'll go to the topic.
Absolutely. Basically, I own a fee-based financial planning firm, and folks that come to us typically already have investment advisors, insurance professionals, CPAs, and attorneys, but nobody's really coordinating all these financial decisions together. And so I'm kind of uniquely positioned as that financial quarterback, do quite a bit of work in exit planning with family businesses, and work very closely actually in the senior market. I know most of the elder law attorneys that have been on your show, in which we trade business as well. So, you know, I work in a lot of different markets here in Atlanta, but, you know, it's a less of a transactional type of practice.
Well, we can relate that. We can suggest to our listeners that they're looking for some type of wealth manager, financial planner, that mm-hmm. they can certainly make that correlation with you.
Right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. But more near and dear to my heart, per se, is I am actually sit on the board of directors for Kate's Club, which is one reason that I'm with you here today.
Right.
And let me tell you a little bit first about Kate's Club. And it's again, very near and dear to my heart. It was founded several years ago by Kate Atwood. She had lost her mom at a very early age and created this nonprofit here in Atlanta, which is designed for kids that have lost either a parent or a sibling at a younger age. And there was really not many places here in Atlanta to go. And what's kind of unique about Kate's Club is there's a physical clubhouse. They have really fun activities. They coordinate on a regular basis. They have some counselors that come in there, have activities. And really, the kids that come there, it's free of charge, and it's not based upon socioeconomic. So there's people from all over Atlanta that get involved with Kate's Club. So one of the big races, especially since we're sitting here on Ujiria, so how does this tie in?
How does this tie in?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, this is what makes the event so cool and merging sort of markets, if you will, in Atlanta. So Kate's Club teamed up with Senior Citizen Services of Atlanta mm-hmm. to create this race, Generation, R-A-C-E, so if you get kind of the play on words
right.
there. And it's a 2K and a 10K run, and that run is Saturday, May 21st. And what's cool about that is, again, you're merging. You're going to have a lot of these seniors out here, mm-hmm. as well as having a lot of the families that have benefited from the services and from Kate's Club. Mm-hmm. So it's going to kind of be a rainbow of flavors, so to speak, out in Grant Park on Saturday, May 21st. The race is at 8:15. And, you know, like I said, it's a 2K, it's a 5K, and it's to benefit, you know, the Senior Citizen Services as well as Kate's Club.
This could be, though you probably don't immediately recognize it, it's a great situation for our listening audience. Principal listeners are what we call sandwich generations. Those individuals that are in their 40s and 50s and have the elders, parents who they're, if they're not directly taken care of, they're certainly concerned about, and their own young children, teenagers or younger, that they're trying to rear. So this is a great opportunity to make it a family event.
Right. No, absolutely. And certainly I've been in talk with several of the ALFs here in Atlanta because we have no senior companies, any assisted livings, any home cares that are sponsors. So at this point, we've got Big Peach and we have Coke and Equifax and Humana, you know, and Navicure and Fidipides and Turner. But that's been my mission here lately is trying to get some of these. I mean, it's certainly a unique market and opportunity. But actually, there's an interesting quote, too, that I got. One of the Cates Club's families was really excited. A gal named Wendy Hensel and her two kids, Grace and Luke, they saw it as an opportunity to honor kind of their dad, Don, who had passed away in 2010. And they created a fundraising page, and I'll give you the website and all that when you register. But they've already raised over $7,000.
Great.
To support some of these services for these kids and these seniors, which is a pretty cool thing. And, you know, they love Kate's Club. They come, they do the activities, you know, they go to ball games, whatever. So it's a really good opportunity.
You mentioned sponsors, and I know you don't want to name anyone on the air, but we are trying to line up, or rather you are trying to line up, one senior organization to be a sponsorship. How can those listeners out there who might have a sponsorship for you, how might they do that?
Well, sure, they can certainly send me an email, and that'd be the best way. And I've certainly put the phone calls out there in my senior contacts, but I think, again, I come back to the uniqueness of this event. Mm-hmm. I think most people in the senior marketplace focus on disease organizations solely, but that's why this market, like you said, you have the sandwich generation there. And you do have somewhat with the senior citizens aspect. So I think whoever has the foresight, the business sight to see the opportunities, this is a phenomenal event. It's a phenomenal event for kids. I mean, I have a 6-year-old and bringing him out there. We'll do the run together. You know, so it's all generations, hence the name.
And not only that, for our listening audience that might be in their 70s or 80s, though, you might not feel like you can participate in the actual run. I can assure you just coming out, watching, cheering, being part of it will rejuvenate you as much as anything you could possibly do.
Yeah, we're not expecting a PR on a 90-year-old and a 10K, but, you know, hey, you know.
Are you aware of other events like this that combine the children and the seniors together?
This is the only one, at least with Kate's Club, right. For the year. Certainly we have other events, but...
Even nationally, are there other events that combine children and seniors in one event? I haven't heard of anything like this.
I don't know.
Right.
I'll claim ignorance on that one. But just for the website, for the purposes of people registering... and I'm going to spell this out because, again, you might get the play on the name here. It's www.generation.org, but generation is spelled GENERACE, like race, TION.org. Again, www.GENERACETION.org.
And to give us the dates and the times and the location one more time.
Absolutely. It's Saturday, May 21st at 8:15. And if you go on the site, that's where you register and it leads you to active.com where you can make donations or create a team to come on out. And again, it's a very family-oriented type affair and should be a lot of fun.
Well, we appreciate you bringing this unique perspective to our arena of business, and we look forward to many people coming out and sponsoring and supporting this race.
Thanks so much, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Well, before one last thing, for our listening audience that might want to contact you professionally, how can they do that?
Sure. They can reach me at Moore, M-O-O-R-E, at Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, MGMT, like management.com.
We thank you, Meredith. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay. That's it for today. We thank our guests, Lori and Suzanne, again in Texas, and Kevin for being the host there. We thank Anthony and Meredith for being our guests here in Atlanta. And we invite our audience, if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at ugeriaradio.com. And as always, in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.